Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, January 9th, 2017. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net today. You can join me for live coverage of WWE Raw tonight at 7 Central, 8 Eastern. Non-members coming up after the break. We'll be discussing the WrestleMania host city, a TNA spoiler, and we'll look ahead to tonight's WWE Raw. The WrestleMania 34 host city has been made official. It has not been a well-kept secret. The Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana will be the host for the big event on April 8th, 2018. Yes, a Sunday. And WWE is returning to the site of WrestleMania 30. And this is going to be a popular choice for fans who attend the event on a regular basis. Bourbon Street right there, of course, along with all the usual wrestling options. Now, I've been hearing... There was a rumor that WrestleMania was going, and it was more than a rumor. I mean, I seriously think there was something going on with WWE and Minneapolis with the new Viking Stadium, and it was supposed to be WrestleMania 33, and part of it was fueled by the fact that the man who runs the stadium was once employed by WWE, and a Viking team official talked about how they were bringing WrestleMania to the town. Something fell through, and I'd heard a couple of different stories as to why it didn't go to Minneapolis. One of them was just they didn't want to commit on a financial level to certain things. But another part of it, too, was that WWE was considering at least the idea of going with more of a rotation. I'm guessing roughly five host cities was kind of the number that was thrown out there. And okay, so this year we have Orlando. Next year, we're going to be in New Orleans. And those are two of WWE's regular kind of destinations, if you will. You could see those being part of a rotation. And I can't tell you that I know they're going with this rotational idea, that it's set in stone. But if they are, I would hope that there would be exceptions. And I think there would be. I mean, money talks. You know, they can have it set in their head that we're going to take this approach. Let's say they had five cities set. Just, again, kind of make it easier. I would think Orlando, New Orleans, obviously, maybe New York, New Jersey market again. I think they like running there for obvious reasons. Dallas, I would think, would be among the group. They did very well there. Los Angeles has their new stadium opening. I think in 2020, I know it's being built now, I think they've already broken ground on that. But, okay, let's say it's those five. You're leaving out Toronto. You would think that at some point they'd want to go back there. And I would also say, if the NFL's Oakland Raiders end up moving to Las Vegas, which has certainly been rumored, there's certainly discussions taking place, nothing official there. But if a new indoor stadium is built in Las Vegas, it would really surprise me if WWE just left money on the table. So that we have our rotation. So if you're somebody in Toronto, Minneapolis, and for all I know, Toronto's part of the rotation, you know, something like that if they were to take that approach. But again, if you're someone who's hoping that WrestleMania is going to come to your town at some point, I'd still take the never say never approach until WWE officially announces that this is the approach they're taking. I still think they're going to listen to bids, you know, and so I think it makes sense to go back to some of these more familiar cities. I had somebody on Twitter upset that they just effing had it in WrestleMania, referring to New Orleans, and they did. But, you know, you develop a relationship with the city. John Sabor was a big part of Orlando and Florida working. I think it was the Orlando side of the more city side of the government there. He had a lot of connections and things like that. So naturally, and WWE obviously with the relationship with that area, with NXT, the Performance Center, and all of that, being located in that area. Technically, the Full Sails in Winter Park, Florida. But, you know, they have a great relationship with people down there. And then, of course, you're going to want to be in New York, New Jersey. But you start to form relationships with the people that help plan these things, that help put these things together. And I think it makes things a little bit easier from WWE's perspective. But in the end, money talks. And hopefully, someday, as much as I'd really enjoy going to Las Vegas to cover a WrestleMania at some point someday, I think that would be a blast. I really hope it ends up making a stop in London. I think with the network, it's a lot easier to work than it ever was before. I don't think fans would be bothered by a Sunday afternoon WrestleMania, that sort of a thing. But, that's another topic for another day. I just kind of wanted to touch on that. But New Orleans will be host to WrestleMania 34. It's probably too late, But you may want to try to, if you're looking to go to WrestleMania 34, now you know the date, April 8th, and you probably want to try to book your hotel immediately because you might, maybe, before it's officially announced by WWE at a press conference on Tuesday, you might be able to score some reasonably priced rooms. I'm not sure. I would jump all over that in the future. I'd hate to see people get burned by wrong information being released about the location or something like that. But it might be worth taking a chance, especially if you can work something out where you have a cancellation in there. Because as soon as it's official, that's when the rates tend to go up pretty significantly as far as room rates go. Hey, a big edition of WWE Raw tonight. It's a bit surprising to me that they're loading things up because they've tended to kind of phone things in a little bit more when they've been airing opposite the College Football National Championship game, which is airing in pretty much direct competition for WWE tonight. But they've loaded things up. You have appearances by Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. And the only match they've announced so far is Roman Reigns defending the U.S. Championship against Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho in a handicap match. All right, we'll talk more about Raw, though, in a little bit. I am going to get into a TNA spoiler. I'll try to keep it to roughly a minute if you hear me kind of talking about other things, and you know you've gone far enough, but I'll try to keep it to about a minute for those of you, and I'm trying to give you enough time here by rambling on if you want to avoid all TNA spoilers from the Impact Zone, because this will be something that will eventually air on TNA Impact. I'm just trying to give you the courtesy so you can skip ahead, not hear this, and then move on and listen to the rest of the show. All right, with that said, let's get into it. Eddie Edwards is no longer the TNA champion. He lost the title to Lashley at the TNA Impact Wrestling tapings on Sunday. Now, the move puts the belt back on a guy who I don't think should have lost the title in the first place. Edwards just wasn't the answer as TNA champion. I still think they kind of overestimated his appeal with the more hardcore type fans. I think people like Eddie Edwards. I don't think there was any strong desire to see him be positioned at the TNA Championship level. He's a very good wrestler. It's just, you know, charismatically, you know, he's just not there. And I hope they didn't do damage to Lashley by, number one, taking the title away from him, and then also having him take the pin on Monday in the triple threat. They may look at it, well, he's going to get the title back anyway, so of course we can have him pinned here, no big deal. I hope it clicks, because Lashley was very good in the champion role during his last reign. I just don't think this was worth taking it off him. Now, that said, let's see what they do with Edwards coming out of this. Does he feel like a bit more of a player now that he's had a run with the title? It's one of those things that right now it's just like, it was a bad move all around. But let's see what happens with Eddie coming out of this. Hey, the members are going to be listening to my Q&A audio show later on today. They will also hear my audio review of WWE Raw coming up after the show tonight. That will be a member-exclusive edition. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of the site, all you have to do is visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Look for the sign-up area. Once you're in there, three different pricing options. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. You want to save yourself a little bit of money. There is a six-month option, and you can also take advantage of that annual option. The annual option brings the price down an average of $2 a month, bringing it down to $5.50 per month is what you pay on average if you take that annual option. As always, if you have any questions about this, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet, or feel free to email me directly at dotnetjason@gmail.com, dotnetjason@gmail.com. As for Raw tonight, here's a few things I'm going to be looking for on the show. Number one, is WWE going to book around the College Football National Championship? The game is advertised my time, Central Time, for 7:15 start, so 8:15 Eastern, 15 minutes after Raw goes on the air. It looks like a 15-minute kind of pre-show to start things out, you know, in addition to what I'm sure is like 12 hours of pregame coverage, because that's the way these things work nowadays. But it's listed for that. It may go a little bit longer as far as pre-show goes. But, you know, WWE, if people are looking at the way it's listed on my programming guide, they're going to, if I missed the pre-show, no big deal. But that only gives them 15 minutes. So if they tune in at 7:15 expecting kickoff, that leaves WWE with basically the opening segment to get people excited about their show. Wouldn't surprise me if they announce Taker is going to open the show. Yes, I said Taker, JBL. Undertaker or Shawn Michaels opening the show would be something that would get people's attention. You know, basically, whatever the hottest part of your show is, I know it's like, well, why don't you try to use that as a hook? Well, use whatever else you have as a hook. Here's what I would do. I would actually open the show with whatever I felt was the most important thing for people to see, so that those who wanted to watch, just basically see what they need to and move on to the game. Let's be real. There's going to be a lot of people who do that. Let them see what you need them to see more than anything, and then I'd give them a hook to come back. I'd go so far as to say, hey, when halftime of the college football game starts, so does our U.S. title match, the handicap match. Give them a reason to come back at halftime. If nothing else, they may not take that approach. It's the way I'd do it, but I would really, during that opening segment, find ways to hype certain things throughout the show. So you can, there's going to be a lot of people watching television tonight. The national championship does huge numbers. Give them a reason to turn the channel over to Raw during the commercial break, and I think you can reap the rewards from that. But those numbers tomorrow will be very interesting. We should be back on track now. I would think we're through the holidays, and so I would think the SmackDown, Raw viewership and ratings info will be available on Tuesday, and then SmackDown will be available on Wednesday, kind of getting back in the swing of things after the holidays here. Second thing on my list, the big question. What's Undertaker doing on Raw? The last time we saw Taker, he told us at WrestleMania no longer to find him. And I guess we all thought that there was some hint there that we'd be seeing a lot more of Taker. Well, we haven't seen him since. During that same promo, if you recall, he gave that big win one for the Taker speech to Team SmackDown. SmackDown was so important to him. Raw was kind of the enemy type of a thing. And yet his first appearance since then is going to be on Raw. I hope that's covered. And even if it's, they could have some fun with that. Like if John Cena and Taker are doing something in Mania, we don't know what that, if that match is official. What if it, you know, if they, let's just for argument's sake, say it's that match. Well, Taker could point out that Cena wasn't even around for Survivor Series, and Cena could point out that, well, neither was Taker number one, and he ended up appearing on Raw, which is something he has. And now, there's different ways you can work this in, just to take little jabs at one another if you feel like you need to add some friction there. But I want to know what he's doing tonight. I think that's a big question mark. Is he going to be announced for the Hall of Fame? Is he there for like a big WrestleMania or even Royal Rumble type of challenge, some type of setup? And I kind of was wondering if he was going to be taking part in the Royal Rumble in some way, whether it's the match or a title match. Now Styles and Cena's booked, so that's out. But I did wonder, just because it's Texas, it's Taker, it's a big dome show. You kind of would wonder. And so we'll see if he ends up doing something regarding that tonight. They keep saying for some reason there's rumors that Undertaker will be there. I don't really get why they're taking that approach rather than just saying they've received word that Taker will be there. I don't know if there's some, if we need to read into that somehow, some way. But he is advertised on the Arena website, has been for some time. So I guess I'd be shocked if he wasn't on the show. But we'll have to find out tonight in what capacity he will be there. What's the reason for Undertaker's appearance on the Raw show? Also, what is HBK doing there? Probably there to promote his movie. It may be that simple. My fantasy booking scenario, as I've been laying out, is that he's there to ask Undertaker's permission to return to the ring so that he can compete in the Royal Rumble match in his hometown. All right, I don't think it's going to happen, but we can daydream once in a while, right? Keep it in mind, just in case. Also, finally, I guess, is this Emelina's week? Yeah, I don't know either. I kind of stopped caring. But they haven't. She's still listed as premiering soon. I guess the other thing to watch for is that handicap match. Two guys competing for one championship, a singles championship, really doesn't do much for me. But they seem to be having all sorts of fun with this Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho friendship, and it's just more of that. I guess you've seen Reigns wrestle Owens, you've seen Reigns wrestle Jericho, now you get to see him wrestle both men. We've probably seen this match before, and I've forgotten, a handicap match, but it is the first time that I can recall anyway. Two guys have a chance to become the U.S. champion, so that's the other hook for the show. Hey, finally today, do you want to help us spread the word about this podcast? Don't say no. All you have to do is take a moment and subscribe to our podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. When I put out the Twitter link at Pro Wrestling Net via Twitter, take a moment, retweet it. Any of those things help. All of those things would be wonderful. I would really appreciate it. But that is going to do it for today, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back for members with the Q&A and tonight's Raw audio review, and I'll be back on the All Access side for you guys tomorrow, discussing a little bit of WWE Raw, getting into the hit list, and looking ahead to SmackDown. Until then, take care.